This is a podcast from the Business Times.
Great Eastern Holdings, the well-known insurance company, routinely rewards its top executives with shares. Not its own shares, but shares in OCBC, its controlling shareholder. This long-standing practice is one issue that has resurfaced after OCBC recently bought a couple of million shares in Great Eastern at just under $17 per share, which was close to Great Eastern's market price, but a more than 50% discount to its embedded value. Are shares in Great Eastern depressed because its managers are not properly incentivized? Or are there other factors weighing down its stock? And what might OCBC and Great Eastern do to unlock value at the insurance company? Hello, everybody. Welcome to the BT Mark to Market podcast. My name is Ben Paul, and I'm a senior correspondent at the Business Times. This series of podcasts, which is based on my weekly column in the Business Times, aims to provide analysis and insight on market trends and corporate issues in Singapore. We're in the month of July 2023, and many investors here in Singapore will probably already be aware that there was a flurry of trading activity in Great Eastern last month as OCBC bought nearly 2.35 million shares in the insurer at $16.99 per share. One reason this transaction made headlines was that it involved two well-established Singapore financial institutions. In fact, I myself own shares in both OCBC and Great Eastern, and have done so for a number of years. More importantly, the transaction increased OCBC's stake in Great Eastern from 87.9% to 88.4%, which is very close to the 90% threshold, where Great Eastern would no longer have the minimum required public float. Under SGX Rule 724, if the proportion of a company's shares held by the public falls below 10%, the exchange may suspend trading of its shares. So the further narrowing of Great Eastern's public float is worrying news for its minority shareholders. Besides the growing risk of them being left holding untradable shares, there is also the possibility that anticipation of a trading suspension might result in downward pressure on Great Eastern's already depressed market price. This could also open the door to OCBC trying to take Great Eastern private again for less than the insurer's full underlying value. This concern is understandable because there have been several privatization deals over the past couple of years, many of them at prices that did not fully reflect the underlying value of the target companies. And there is, I think, a general sentiment among investors that not enough is being done by the boards of locally listed companies to boost their market valuations. Now, I'll come back to these issues later in this podcast and explain why I think, despite the risks that I've just mentioned, investors should actually hold on to their Great Eastern shares or even buy some more in the market. But let me first back up a little bit and offer some context to what's been happening at OCBC and Great Eastern. Following the Asian financial crisis in the late 1990s, banks in Singapore were pushed to offload their non-core assets and pursue mergers among themselves, in order to become larger and more resilient financial institutions. Amid this flurry of corporate deals involving the banks, a strategic decision was made at OCBC to subsume Great Eastern in order to increase the group's heft and diversify its sources of income. OCBC was, at the time, staking out its position in the wealth management sector, and having a big insurance group in its fold seemed to make a lot of sense. On top of that, OCBC already owned nearly half of Great Eastern shares, and the Lee family, which are big shareholders of OCBC, held a further 15% of Great Eastern. In short, this was a deal that made strategic sense and that suited all the major players involved. So, in 2004, OCBC unveiled a proposal to acquire all the shares in Great Eastern it did not already own. It offered 976 new OCBC shares for every 1,000 Great Eastern shares. OCBC also proposed a selective capital reduction in order to cancel a block of OCBC shares held by Great Eastern at the time. There was just one problem. Some shareholders of Great Eastern preferred to hold on to their shares and refused to accept the deal. When the offer closed, OCBC's stake in Great Eastern had increased from 48.8% to only 81.1%. But OCBC didn't give up. In 2006, it made another attempt to take Great Eastern private. This time, it made a voluntary cash offer for all the Great Eastern shares it did not already own at $16 per share. The offer price was more than 14% above Great Eastern's market price at the time, and 50% more than Great Eastern's embedded value at the end of 2005 of about $10.60 per share. But again, there were a lot of minority shareholders of Great Eastern who felt OCBC was not being generous enough. When the $16 per share offer closed, OCBC and its concert parties held only 87.1% of Great Eastern shares, which was still not quite enough to take Great Eastern private. At that point, OCBC seemed to accept that there were some shareholders of Great Eastern who could not be dislodged, and the bank basically just focused its attention on building its various businesses. Now, analysts and investors have, from time to time, voiced doubts about whether having an integrated insurance company within the OCBC Group is such a good thing. Great Eastern's reported earnings can be volatile, which affects OCBC's headline financial numbers. And there are often questions about whether OCBC would be more profitable overall if it simply relied on external insurance partners instead of owning its own insurance company. But OCBC's management has maintained the narrative that Great Eastern is an important component of the whole group, and it gives it a certain flexibility and competitive edge in serving its customers. One thing that isn't in doubt, however, is that Great Eastern has grown significantly over the years. I've mentioned the term embedded value a couple of times in this podcast. That's a widely used valuation metric for insurance companies. In a nutshell, embedded value is the present value of future profits that an insurer is expected to generate from its in-force business plus its adjusted net asset value. Conceptually, it's the value of an insurer assuming it does not write any further policies. So it's sort of a baseline valuation for an insurance company. Shares of insurance companies usually trade above their embedded value because insurance companies are in fact constantly writing new policies, some at a faster rate than others. Earlier in this podcast, I said that Great Eastern's embedded value at the end of 2005 stood at about $10.60 per share, and that OCBC's offer of $16 per share was a 50% premium to that embedded value. Well, Great Eastern's embedded value at the end of last year stood at $37.81 per share. That's more than 3.5 times what it was at the end of 2005. But Great Eastern's share price has lagged behind its underlying growth in its business. The stock is now trading in the market at less than half its embedded value. This has been a sore point for many minority shareholders of Great Eastern. And even before OCBC made headlines last month for its purchase of 2.35 million more Great Eastern shares at less than $17 each, these investors had been asking the boards of Great Eastern and OCBC to address the matter of Great Eastern's deeply undervalued shares. Why is Great Eastern's share price so depressed? And what can the boards of OCBC and Great Eastern do to fix this? I'm going to talk about that next.
The International News Media Association held its annual World Congress in May this year in New York, attracting leadership from news media companies in 50-plus countries and included a conference, workshops, study tours, and awards. Associate Editor, Product, The Business Times, Christopher Lim, attended as well. What did we learn? Find out in the latest episode of Editor's Talk. Proudly produced by The Business Times Podcasts team. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, back to Mark to Market from the Business Times.
At the beginning of this podcast, I said Great Eastern's narrowed public float could open the door to OCBC trying once more to take the insurance company private, but this time for much less than its embedded value. This concern of a lowball privatization offer is, of course, something that minority investors across the local market have been grappling with for years, and it's something that regulators have tried to address. SGX tightened up its rules on voluntary delistings back in 2019. In particular, SGX now requires that companies appoint an independent financial advisor to assess that these deals are fair and reasonable. But this hasn't really been effective in getting minority investors a better deal. For one thing, there are many companies that are tightly owned by their controlling shareholders to begin with, and the opinion of the IFA ceases to matter once the offeror obtains enough shares to exercise its right of compulsory acquisition. Structural steel specialist TTJ Holdings went private last year through this route, following an offer from its controlling shareholder that its IFA said was neither fair nor reasonable. Another problem is that the board of a target company is not precluded from recommending a privatization deal, even if the appointed IFA finds it to be less than fair and reasonable.
So, for example, the IFA for Bausted Projects said earlier this year that the offer from its parent company, Bausted Singapore, was not fair but reasonable. Nevertheless, the IFA advised the board of Bausted Projects to recommend its shareholders accept the offer, which the board did. Bausted Singapore ended up owning 95.5% of Bausted Projects, which resulted in Bausted Projects being suspended due to the loss of its public float. Yet another problem is that investors sometimes think an offer is inadequate, even though an IFA has declared it to be fair and reasonable. And when these offers go through, it leads to a great deal of unhappiness and mistrust in the market. One case that the mark-to-market column recently cited was the delisting of Golden Energy and Resources, where, to cut a long story short, the IFA downplayed the plainly visible market prices of the group's public listed units in its analysis. Minority shareholders of Golden Energy voted the deal through despite not getting full value for their shares. In my view, because the market price of Golden Energy had appreciated significantly over the preceding year, and because the offeror had improved the terms of the privatization deal along the way. The point I'm making with all these examples is that minority shareholders of Great Eastern actually have very little protection, in practical terms, in the event OCBC decides to take the insurance company private, despite the tougher delisting rules implemented in 2019. OCBC's stake in Great Eastern is already very close to the 90% threshold, beyond which Great Eastern might end up being suspended from trading. The appointment of an IFA wouldn't really help Great Eastern's minorities, even though its shares are trading at very depressed levels. It is, therefore, very important that minority shareholders of Great Eastern act now to protect their interests and not expect that the delisting rules will take care of them when an offer is actually made. Specifically, they need to press the boards of Great Eastern and OCBC to address the deep undervaluation of Great Eastern shares. Now, some minority shareholders of Great Eastern evidently realize this. The minutes of Great Eastern's most recent AGM, which was held in April of this year, showed that the board was asked a number of questions about the company's weak share price. The board's position, and I'm summarizing the AGM minutes, is that there are many factors for the weak share price, some of which are beyond the board's control, such as the liquidity of its shares and the profile of its shareholders. In other words, Great Eastern has a weak share price because its shares are tightly owned by OCBC as well as minority investors. But at least one shareholder at the AGM also asked about Great Eastern's practice of incentivizing its senior executives with OCBC shares instead of Great Eastern shares. Now, this is something that has been brought up by investors from time to time. Great Eastern's annual report states that the company does not have any share option scheme or share plan in place. Instead, OCBC grants share awards pursuant to the OCBC Deferred Share Plan to selected senior executives of Great Eastern, based on the recommendations of the Remuneration Committee. In response to the question about this practice at its recent AGM, Great Eastern's board said that its executives are awarded OCBC shares to foster the mindset that Great Eastern is part of a larger financial group that could extract greater value through group synergies. It also said the shares are only one component of their variable compensation and that its executives' variable compensation hinges on Great Eastern's performance. This is all very well, but shareholders of Great Eastern are bound to link this incentive scheme to the undervaluation of Great Eastern shares. I mean, why should Great Eastern's executives care about the company's share price if the share-based component of their income is paid in the form of OCBC shares rather than Great Eastern shares? Keep in mind that there is a cost to these share-based awards. OCBC, like many other big listed companies, typically buys back its own shares in the market in order to meet its delivery obligations under the group's various employee share schemes. And Great Eastern recognizes the cost of these share-based schemes in its profit and loss statement. For example, its latest annual report states that the cost of the OCBC deferred share plan that I mentioned earlier is recognized in its profit and loss statement on a straight-line basis over the plan's vesting period. So, in effect, Great Eastern is footing the cost of buying OCBC shares in the market to pay its executives. In my view, this form of compensation is just not right from the perspective of Great Eastern's minority shareholders, and it's something that ought to be addressed by Great Eastern's board. Of course, a lot really depends on OCBC. While Great Eastern has its own board, as its controlling shareholder, OCBC will always have a strong last say on anything that happens at its insurance arm. And personally, I doubt that the group will easily change its long-standing executive compensation practices. On a more positive note, the matter of Great Eastern's undervaluation was also raised at OCBC's AGM earlier this year. The minutes of the AGM show that shareholders of OCBC asked about whether OCBC would distribute its stake in Great Eastern as a dividend. Shareholders of OCBC also wanted to know if the bank would ever take Great Eastern private. Now, OCBC's board responded by saying a lot of very nice things about Great Eastern, such as that it has grown very well over the years and it's now a top insurance player in Singapore and Malaysia, and that it's expected to perform very well going forward. Interestingly, OCBC also said it was planning to ask for increased representation on Great Eastern's board. It went on to say it would engage Great Eastern to review its business strategy in order to achieve greater and more sustained growth. On the possibility of taking Great Eastern private, OCBC said it was always open to such possibilities and that it might be keen on any Great Eastern shares for sale. But OCBC also said that privatizing Great Eastern was just one strategic possibility. Now, here's the part that piqued my interest. OCBC noted Great Eastern's dividend payout ratio last year was 39%, whereas OCBC recently announced the dividend policy of delivering a total payout ratio of 50%. OCBC said that it might have a dialogue with Great Eastern to align Great Eastern's dividend policy with its own, implying that it wants Great Eastern to hike its dividend payouts. Now, Great Eastern's dividend hasn't changed much over the last few years. It paid a dividend of 65 cents per share for 2022 and 2021, which translates to a dividend yield of about 3.7% based on its current share price of about $17.75. OCBC's comments about Great Eastern's dividend policy suggest to me that it does want Great Eastern to deliver more value to all its shareholders, and an adjustment in Great Eastern's dividend this year, if it happens, could do just that. And because Great Eastern's market valuation is so low, this dividend adjustment could have an outsized impact on its share price, in my view. Ironically, this might actually increase the likelihood of OCBC eventually making another attempt at privatizing Great Eastern. Think of it this way. If Great Eastern trades closer to its embedded value, it would increase the possibility of OCBC making an offer at a price that is palatable to its own shareholders as well as minority shareholders of Great Eastern. The deal would be easier to justify to both parties. So the bottom line, in my view, is even though Great Eastern's share price performance has been very disappointing in recent years, its stock still holds great long-term potential. The insurer has a great long-term track record in building its underlying value, and growing pressure from minority shareholders, as well as the possible hike in its dividend payouts, could be an interesting catalyst for the stock in the months ahead. That's it for this episode of Mark to Market. I'm Senior Correspondent Ben Paul at the Business Times.
This is a podcast by the Business Times. Find more BT podcasts at businesstimes.com.sg/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is meant to provide general information only. SPH Media accepts no liability for loss arising from any reliance on the podcast or use of third parties' products and services. Please consult professional advisors for independent advice.